This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. Thank you for your support.
Mike Adams.
We know how to make America healthy again. We know how to save billions of dollars a year in healthcare costs.
The Health Ranger Report.
There's just no political willingness to allow the truth to be stated.
It's time for the Health Ranger Report.
The Health Ranger Report.
And now from naturalnews.com, here's Mike Adams.
This podcast is about safe cities versus unsafe cities as it all starts to hit the fan. Whether we're dealing with political upheaval, social chaos, market collapse, nuclear war with North Korea or the Russians or whoever, whatever the scenario may be, grid down scenario, there are some cities that are going to be relatively safe and other cities that are going to be devastatingly dangerous. And previously, I have spoken about cities in general as being death traps. But I'd like to offer more discernment on that because there is a difference between cities based on, well, a lot of factors that I will talk about here. So many cities are, in fact, quite survivable if you have adequate supplies. So this is step one. You've got to make sure that you don't depend on the city infrastructure for your basic survival needs, which include perhaps heat or cooling, you know, in the case of a hot summer in a city in the south like Houston, but also water, electricity, emergency food supplies, emergency medicine, these kinds of things. So you can be a prepper and live in a city and still survive quite a lot, especially if you've got a means of self-defense, if you've got firearms and you know how to use them and you're willing to defend your life and your property against looters and rioters, you actually stand a better than even chance, let's say, well, depending on the scenario, of surviving even some pretty crazy collapse or social unrest types of scenarios in a city. So you can survive a city, but there are other cities where it's basically a death zone and it's almost impossible to survive unless you are in with the gangs, the criminal gangs, the drug gangs, whoever is actually in power at the time, because law enforcement won't be able to protect you. That's one of the big lessons in all of this. So how do you tell the difference between a city that's survivable versus a city that isn't survivable? And to answer this question, I'm going to give you, let's say, Austin, Texas, because that's sort of where I live in Central Texas, but I've lived in other states as well, so I will name many, many other cities here. Let's compare Austin, Texas versus Houston, Texas, because it's in the same state. It's got a very similar culture, a very similar population mix, but Austin, Texas, I would consider to be very survivable as a city in a collapse, whereas Houston is not so much survivable. So what's the difference? Well, Austin versus Houston. First of all, look at the police force. The police in Austin are much better staffed, just in terms of police budgeting, the number of officers per unit of population. I don't know what the ratio is in Austin exactly, but it's much better than it is in Houston. So most police departments across the country are short-staffed. Almost all of them are. But Austin would be less short-staffed compared to a place like Houston. So that's one metric to look at. Another thing is the racial tension in a city. So in Houston, there's a lot of racial tension. Houston has been the site of a lot of riots and you know, racially motivated violence, sometimes black on white, sometimes white on black, sometimes black on black, sometimes white on white. I guess it's all combinations. But there's been a lot of racial divide in a place like Houston. There's a pretty big low-income inner city in Houston, as there is in Chicago, which I'll talk about in a minute. And Houston has been the site of a lot of sort of uprisings and violence and, in some cases, Black Lives Matter marches that got violent or that sort of tended toward violence. And I don't want to say that all Black Lives Matter marches are violent because they're all not. I mean, some are and some aren't, but the ones that I've seen in Houston tended toward more violence or at least had that kind of posture. So very likely, Houston will very quickly fall to the gangs. It will be a lawless kind of city in a sufficiently large collapse. And even though the best intentions of the Houston cops are to prevent violence and maintain the safety of their community, they will very likely be unable to do so because of the overbearing size and scale of the gangs and the number of gangbangers and lawless individuals who inhabit Houston. So I wouldn't want to be in Houston. It's also a very dense city, especially in the inner city portions, you know, deep in like downtown Houston. It's very difficult to get out of Houston, even though you can escape in almost every direction. Unlike Chicago, because of obviously the geography, you can't escape Chicago in every direction. Like Miami, you can't escape Miami in every direction. There's an ocean there, right? You know, the Chicago, large lake, right? Not every place is escapable. Los Angeles, another ocean. You can't escape Los Angeles by going west. In other words, unless you have a boat, which is actually a pretty decent escape plan, kind of a bug out boat. I've seen articles on that bug out boat. There's even like a bug out boat company that offers like prepaid bug out boat escape routes. Yeah. You just better hope they're there when you need them since you've prepaid for the trip. So I don't know. I think I would rather own my own boat than depend on somebody else. In any case, getting back to this, some cities have such a racial divide, and race actually has a lot to do with this because, you know, look, there's been a lot of race baiting out there in the media. The media has worked to divide America rather than teaching us that regardless of our skin color, we all have much more in common than we have separate from each other. That it's really, you know, they don't want you to know it's actually the people versus the globalists, right? I mean, all of us, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, we all have similar dreams, similar challenges. We all want basically the same liberties and so on. But it's the globalists who have declared war on us all. And they want us fighting with each other. So they actually, they gin up this kind of race war narrative, especially under Obama. He was the master of racial hatred. Obama would always escalate racial tensions, you know, saying, I think, Trayvon Martin, that if I had a son, he would have looked a lot like Trayvon and so on. And the media censoring or selectively editing like 911 calls involving shootings and trying to claim it's all based on race and so on. So there's a lot of disinformation, a lot of fake news in the mainstream media, a lot of whipping up of racial tension by Obama on purpose in order to create this racial tension. So as a result, we have a lot of cities like Baltimore. You got to mention Baltimore. You know, Chicago, Detroit, Ferguson, Missouri, well, St. Louis, in a larger sense. A lot of these areas have a lot of racial tension, and so they're not going to be safe, almost regardless of what your race is, you see. So certain cities, you have to get out before it hits the fan. And those cities, I would include, you know, St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit, Baltimore, even New York City, Miami, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Let's see. Well, Houston, I already mentioned. Maybe Seattle. Probably parts of Seattle. San Diego. Oh, Phoenix for sure. Phoenix, it could be a very dangerous place. But Tucson is a lot more survivable than Phoenix for all the reasons that I'm mentioning here. Albuquerque, sort of middle of the road. You know, it could be survivable. Hard to say. Salt Lake City will probably be just fine. A lot of people there who are willing to follow rules. You know, sort of the Mormon community dominates Salt Lake City. Probably going to be a lawful type of place. Not going to have a lot of crazy rioters. There may be some outbreaks, but I think they'll be shut down very quickly by a lot of the Mormon community people who are also preppers and they're into self-reliance as well. So they're totally stocked up for everything. I mean, if there's any city that's going to survive an apocalypse, it's probably Salt Lake City, come to think of it, you know, just because of the Mormon population there. So Salt Lake City would be relatively safe. Denver, you know, not the biggest gang banger city in the world, has some like gang influence, but it doesn't overrun the city. So Denver is probably very relatively survivable. But there are other cities in Colorado that are more survivable than Denver. Like, let's say Boulder, for example. Boulder, you know, yeah, it's a fascist police state liberal enclave, but it probably won't be overrun by gangs, you know, because gangs don't like cold weather, for one thing. you could escape up into Netherland, you know, go up into the hills if you're in Boulder. Escape to the highlands where it's snowing and the gangs won't follow you there. They don't like cold weather. So anyway, this is all just a general discussion. Obviously, things can change. Things might vary in your city. It also depends on where you live in the city, what kind of car you drive, what your skin color is, believe it or not. You're more likely to be targeted by, obviously, gangbangers if you're white, and you're also more likely to be targeted by police if you're black. So, you know, either way, there's an advantage or a disadvantage, just depending on who, you know, who you're interacting with. If you're going through a roadside checkpoint because there's been some martial law crackdown and you happen to be driving while black, you're probably going to get some extra scrutiny from law enforcement. Whereas if you're driving through like a black gang zone and you happen to be white, then you're going to get a different kind of scrutiny, which may include you being dragged out of your vehicle and beaten in the street, right? I mean, you know, nobody's safe when society is chaotic and things are breaking down and people aren't following laws, regardless of your skin color. So my advice actually is take a very hard look at where you are. You should always have an escape route planned. Be sure to visit the website bugout.news if you want some advice on bugging out. You should always have a bug out plan in place. You should have enough fuel in your vehicle. And you should have, by the way, a secondary vehicle. I really recommend a motorcycle and a bicycle. I mean, and if you have to walk out on foot over a period of a few days, you should have the skills to be able to do that. You should know how to read a compass, read a map, read the sun. You should have a topography hard copy map of your area and knowledge of how to get out, you know, how to walk out of your city. That's a very important skill. You should know how to drive out, but understand that the highways are probably going to be clogged if everybody else is trying to get out, and vehicles might not be safe, especially if you're driving a big RV that people think is loaded down with like food and water and ammo, you're likely to get hijacked. So try not to drive a big luxury RV around in a collapse type of scenario. Not going to work in your favor. Have some old beater pickup truck, you know, that's the thing to do. The worse your vehicle looks, the better off you are, frankly. You know, that try to work it that way. Yeah. Okay, so if you can't drive out of the city, maybe you can get out on a motorcycle, because you can always go, you can bypass the crowded lanes on a highway, right? You can use a motorcycle or even a bicycle for that matter. You can have a bike, although you can't go very fast, and you are subject to having your bike stolen by other people with guns. So keep that in mind as well. You might want to travel at night and then sleep hidden during the day. That's actually a pretty decent plan that a lot of preppers talk about. Travel at night, stay hidden during the day. It's a pretty good plan, especially if you have some basic night vision type of equipment, or you can navigate by moonlight or what have you. Now, walking out of a city is an interesting thing. It's not as difficult as you might think, but most people have never done it. So I guess it can be challenging to them, especially if you're in a city like Los Angeles. How do you walk out of Los Angeles? Well, the answer is you probably don't, because there you have desert all around you. You know, Los Angeles really is, frankly, a desert. It's been artificially made into a city with the importation of a large water supply. But lacking that water supply, Los Angeles reverts to a desert very, very quickly. And if you're trying to escape L.A., as the movie title goes with Kurt Russell, he also escaped New York. Guy's an escape artist. If you're trying to escape L.A., you're going to have so much water, because you're going to have to walk through insane desert areas to get to anywhere resembling, you know, civilization. Can you do it? I guess it's doable, but it's a hard thing. And if you're not in the best physical shape, you might not make it. I mean, water is heavy. Isn't it like 7 pounds per gallon or something like that? It's heavy. You're going to need a lot of gallons of water, so you're going to have to be humping out about, I don't know, 60 gallons. I mean, 60 pounds, maybe 60 to 70 pounds of water, easy, on your own back, not to even mention all your other gear that you need. You know, your rifle, right? Your compass, your water filter, your food, all these other things, your pup tent, whatever you have. So getting out of LA is a very difficult thing. Whereas if you needed to get out of Denver, for example, not such a big deal. You don't have to walk through a desert in order to do that. If you try to get out of a place like Phoenix, you know, good luck. It's pretty much all desert. I mean, it's basically unsurvivable there without electricity and imported water. Phoenix is basically a death trap city, kind of classically so, even without gang wars and everything, just the harsh environment of surviving Phoenix, especially in, you know, August. Forget it. You're going to be lucky to survive at all without electricity and water, unless you're a hardcore survivalist and you can drink, you can suck the water out of saguaro cactus or something, maybe. That's a unique skill set. But if you can do that, you might make it. Or, you know, Tucson, what have you. But Tucson's, again, probably not going to be that crazy of a place. You can probably hang out in Tucson and survive it. But cities like Chicago or Detroit or Baltimore or Philadelphia, even for that matter, you know, New Jersey, a lot of these cities are going to be very, very difficult to survive. Even Las Vegas, for that matter, because it is in a massive desert, obviously. How do you survive Las Vegas without power and water? Especially since you probably got there on an airplane. You didn't walk there. You probably don't know how to walk out. So you may not even have a firearm with you, you know, being that you probably traveled by plane to get there. So you could be out of luck in a place like Vegas. The point is, your best bet is to get out of the cities now while you can. Before it's an emergency, if you're out in the country, you're not going to have all of these problems. You can have a country house out in on some acreage somewhere, you know, maybe you have 10 or 20 acres. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be a cabin out in the woods. You can just be part of some rural community and you're going to be so much better off. Because rural communities usually don't suffer the gang density of the inner cities, right? Rural communities, everybody's usually armed. People are capable of self-defense. You might have a water well. You might collect rainwater off your roof. You might have a small garden. You might have some cattle or something. If you were dying of starvation, you could, you know, you could sacrifice a cow. Or you could barter with somebody who's got a cow. Maybe you've got gold and silver and they've got a cow. Or, hey, in Texas, there's wild pigs everywhere. You can literally, if you have to, you can shoot a pig. They don't run that fast. I'll just, except when they're babies. The babies run really fast. The big, heavy adults are not that fast. I've chased them down on my own ranch. I don't shoot them, by the way. It's just not my thing. You know, I'm not a sport hunter. But if I was starving to death, you bet I'd take one down and have bacon for the next week. No question about it. I just don't shoot for sport. You know, I'll shoot for survival. But I'm not, you know, I'm not a sport shooter. Anyway, that's a tangent from all this. The point is, get outside the cities as soon as you can. I want you to be safe. I want you to survive all the chaos that's coming. Things are getting very, very crazy in the world. There are so many threats against us right now in terms of culture, society, financial collapse, war with North Korea, you know, ICBMs. They want to nuke Hawaii or nuke Seattle. Things are getting pretty crazy. I want you to be safe. I want you to survive all of this. You need to get prepared. You need to have your storable supplies, your storable food, your water filter, your what else? You know, medical supplies, communication supplies, working firearms with some backup parts and everything. You know, I don't have time to go into all that right now, but you need to have a full-on survival blueprint in place for what's coming. That's my assessment. And don't get caught in a city with a bunch of gangbangers who are going to burn down the place, and they're probably going to try to take you with it. That's my analysis. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Adams, Health Ranger for NewsTarget.com.
Learn more at HealthRangerReport.com.
When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean, foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel, first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger Store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.